Thank you, Eldon, for sharing that regarding the sewing. Appreciate that. And also, it's good to see Dale back and doing better again after another short time at the hospital. So good to see you, Dale. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Also, it's good to see Fred and Megan here this morning. Is this your first Sunday back from your trip? Okay. Good to see you here. First Peter chapter 2, and we're actually going to start looking at some scripture in at the end of chapter 1. And if you look at the whole of chapter 1, you'll see some talking there about salvation and the fact that we're not redeemed by corruptible things, but through Jesus Christ. And then he gets to verse 23 of chapter 1 and says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower therefore falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted of the Lord, tasted that the Lord is gracious. This morning I want to talk a little bit about just growing in Christ and keeping that growing going in our Christian walk. And I don't know how many of you feel like in your Christian life that it's always just a good upward walk and just moving right along and everything's smooth, or if sometimes you feel like maybe you're walking downhill, sometimes struggling uphill, sometimes it's maybe more flat. I don't know how you feel about that. I sometimes seemingly find myself where the walk feels really good and you feel like you're growing, and then other times you feel like, where am I headed and what's going on? And you have to steer yourself back and get back on track. But he says here, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And so this morning I want to just take some practical looks at ways of growing in our Christian walk. So let's just take a look here at the last few verses of chapter 1, where it says we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And he talks a little bit about that, but he makes note of the fact that there's a contrast in the end of chapter 1. The contrast is that God's word endures forever, will never change, it lasts forever, and we don't. Not in this life. Yes, we have a never-dying soul that will live somewhere forever, but basically it says all flesh is as grass. In other words, we grow up, we're here for a while, and the first thing you know, we get older, and we're gone. And for many of you here, would look at somebody like me and say, boy, he's getting older. Well, I was really blessed this week to go out to one of the, checking up on a job that we had done, and I stopped there, and she said, both of us, she said, you guys are young, you don't know what old's like. So I thought, well, that felt good. She doesn't realize, it's just her perspective, because she was older yet. And, where we're at in life, but as we get to a certain stage, we all of a sudden realize we're getting older, and we're more frail, things aren't as strong as they used to be. And, you know, just yesterday I was carrying 2 5-gallon buckets of water over to a tree and to do some things, carrying it, and it got heavy. And I thought back at the time when I was a teenager when I would try to fill up 4 5-gallon buckets of water and carry them from the milk house to the barn, around the barn, and over to the other side of the barn to water the hogs so I wouldn't have to take as many trips. I don't think I'd make it today. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't make it today. I don't think my hands could hold the handles together. So as we age, we recognize we're getting weak, and we're only here for a short period of time, and we're gone. But God's word lasts forever. And he makes that very clear. There's a contrast. He puts it there as a contrast. However, our souls are going to be somewhere forever. And while we're here, we want to grow in Christ so that someday, in a place where there are no tears, there is no aging, there is no dying, we can live forever with Christ, having grown in this life and had a victorious Christian life, so that when we end here, we end well. Just because we start out in a Christian walk does not mean that we will end in one if we do not maintain it and we're not growing in our Christian walk. So one of the things that I think we'll see here at the beginning of chapter 2 then is a prerequisite for growing. He says, wherefore, laying aside, and he lists some things there, malice, guile, hypocrisies, envyings, and all evil speakings. If you look at that, those are things that are rooted deeply in the heart that often come out in some way or another. Malice, just evilness, just being evil. Guile, being dishonest, which ties right along with hypocrisies. Envyings, wanting what isn't ours that maybe someone else has. We envy this, envy that. We wish we had this. We wish we had that. And then evil speakings. In other words, just saying things that are evil, whether maybe it's about another person, whether it's about just life in general, but just the way we speak. So it says we have to lay those things aside. If we're going to grow in our Christian walk, there are some things that have to be laid aside. You can't take them along and expect to grow. It's just the way it is. A child may have certain diseases or illnesses that if they're not taken care of, they won't grow. And they won't mature. They will not at least mature and grow properly. And so in order to grow, we have to get rid of these things, lay them aside, and don't pick them back up. Get rid of them. And so maybe I would ask this question this morning for myself and for any of you. What needs to be laid aside in your life in order to grow that may not even be in this list? What's hindering your growth? What, you know, Paul talks about, and we're not going to go to those verses here, but he talks about running a race and not just like beating the air, just doing it as, you know, actually going out there and running the race and not just pretending, looking like it. So are you basically beating the air and not getting anywhere in your race because you've got things that are just weighing you down, these weights that are just keeping? The Bible says to get rid of those weights, get them off, cast them off so that we can actually get somewhere. And get where we need to go. I don't know if they still do it or not. When I was younger, one of the ways of kind of training for running and this and that was you'd wear weights around your legs, you know, ankle weights and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, I don't ever recall a runner, when they're actually getting ready for the race, that they actually wore their weights on them. They got rid of them if they actually wanted to win the race. They took them off. They got rid of them. They were going. So there's things we need to lay aside in order to be victorious. And then as we move into verse 2 there, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And I guess that is a question. Where is your desire? Where's my desire? Do we really desire the sincere milk of the word of God? But verse 3 there kind of throws in a clause there. If so be ye have tasted of the Lord, that he is gracious. Have you tasted that? If you've not tasted of the Lord, you may not have the hunger and the desire to grow. I'm going to ask a question that maybe dates me a little bit. I don't know. How many of you here have ever bucket fed, not bottle fed calves, bucket fed calves? There's got to be a few of you. Yeah, some of you know. How many of you are added? Teach a calf to drink out of a bucket that never drank out of a bottle or anything else. Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. You take this little newborn calf that wants his mother, and if it's dairy cattle, you get them away from their mom, and you get a bucket of warm milk, and you try to back this calf into the corner and kind of straddle it and try to shove his head down in a bucket, and you probably put your finger down there in the warm milk so he can kind of suck on your finger, maybe get a taste, and if he snorts and throws his head, you get milk. But once they get a taste of it, and once they learn it, they get that taste, it's drink that milk up. And you bring them more milk the next time, and they're going to drink it up, and they're going to drink it up, and they're going to drink it up. They've tasted it, and it's good, and they want more, and they want more, and they grow. You take a calf that won't drink milk, and you're not going to have a calf very long. They don't last long. And I think that's the way it is in our Christian life. We first have to taste that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord is good. We taste it. We get into his word. We repent of our sins. We taste that his forgiveness. And once we've accepted that forgiveness, we place our faith in him and the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we recognize that. And suddenly there's this desire that we want more and we want to grow. And I remember when we still were boys down at Akron, and Kenton could probably tell you this too, we'd go in the back of the barn there where the calves were all in their pens. And when they thought we were going to feed them, boy, they start bellowing. They all did. And then sometimes we were kind of mean to them, and we'd pretend we were leading a chorus, and they were singing, and we were being, I don't know if you remember that or not, but anyway. I suppose Grandpa and Dad were not impressed any more than the calves were, but we were having fun. But do we want the word so badly and to grow so badly and it tastes so good that in a sense, like those calves are crying out, they wanted their milk, they wanted their milk. Would we cry out like that in a sense for desiring to grow, to get more milk of the word, to get into the word, to hear the word, excuse me, to share the word and to just grow in it? Often in our busy lives, we don't. And our desire, tends to wane, and our growth then wanes with it. So we must first of all desire to grow and stay in God's word and be part of, connected to God. Turn with me to John chapter 15 as we think about this growing in Christ. I'm going to read the first 17 verses of John 15. It's a very familiar passage, but I want you just, as we read it, think about how many times you see the word abide, and think about our connection with Christ in this passage, starting at verse 1, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Wherefore, I call you not servants, for the Lord knoweth not what is where the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And then he goes on and talks about hatred of the world, some of those things. But abide, abide, abide. If we want to grow, we abide in Christ. And what's interesting, if you look at this passage, not only do we abide in him, but it says he abides in us. There's a coupling together. And so if we are going to grow in Christ, we'll notice a couple of things. One, we need to be present with him. We need to be with Christ. You can't separate the vine and the branches way over apart from each other and have some kind of growth between them. It's just not going to happen. We need to be there, close proximity to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, abiding in Christ means something's going to happen. And that is, there's going to be pruning. The branches that aren't really connected, they just get cast away. But the branches that are actually connected to the vine, they get pruned. And pruning doesn't feel good. But I will say this, if we're going to grow in Christ and we're going to produce more fruit in our Christian walk, there's going to be pruning. And I think sometimes that pruning can happen of ourselves, where we see things that need to go, need to be laid aside, as we looked at there in 1 Peter. Lay it aside, get rid of it, prune it, cut it off, get rid of it. And other times, Christ, or the husbandman, actually the father, looks at our lives and says, you know what, here's some things that have to go. This needs to go, this needs to go. And you know what, in that happening, then the plant flourishes and the fruit is abundant and it grows and there's more fruit and more fruit. One of the things I want to notice in this passage here in John 15 as well is more than once he says, for instance, in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So, can we grow in Christ without keeping his commandments? And he mentions a couple times here, one of the greatest commandments is to love your neighbors yourself, or he says to love others, basically. This I command you to love one another. And you might say, well, I think I love everybody, so that's as far as that needs to go. Well, if we're actually in the Word, and we desire the Word, we're in the Word, we're reading the Word, and allowing the Word to work and to prune in our lives, we're going to see that there are a lot of things that Jesus says, do this, do this, don't do that, don't do that. We say, we don't like that, that sounds like the law. Well, I can't help it that Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. That's what he says. We can't grow in Christ and ignore what he has asked us to do. It just won't work. It won't work. And part of that goes into that whole pruning process. So we want to keep his commandments. We want to abide in his love, and we want him to abide in our hearts. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, when we get into starting there at about verse 20, there's several times he mentions, let us. And in verse 22, he said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So as we're growing, we want to draw near. We're talking about that abiding. And verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. We don't want to give up ground we've already gained. In verse 24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How does that go along with growing? Well, Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. In Williams, it says it like this. Let us continue to consider one another as to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let us stop neglecting our meeting together, as some do, but let us continue to encourage one another, and all the more because you see that the great day is drawing near. So growing in Christ is not just I'll grow in Christ by myself, leave me alone, that's fine, I'm doing my own thing. There's something about considering each other, provoking each other, or stimulating. I like the way the Williams says, stimulating each other to do good things, good works, good, just keep our Christian life going. And then he goes on to say, don't stop meeting together. In other words, there's something about the brotherhood and meeting together and encouraging each other and stimulating each other to stay in that vine, to grow, to stay in the Word, and to cultivate that. And so one of the things in growing in Christ, I believe, is to be together and to encourage each other and to actually not just come together as some sort of a social club, but to come together and actually encourage each other to grow in Christ and to maybe even help each other in that pruning process, as painful as it may be. And I know sometimes it can definitely be a painful experience. Turn back over to 2 Peter, this time to chapter 3. Chapter 3, it says, starting at verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Okay, so there is a possibility of falling away. But he says, you know these things, so beware. So if we're going to grow in our Christian life, there's times we need to be careful. Look around, beware of things, and make sure we don't fall from our steadfastness. But it doesn't just end there. It's not just, okay, we're steadfast now, so we just stay right there. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And so we want to maintain and stay, make sure we don't fall away and that we're steadfast. But then we don't just stop there. At that level, we want to grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, is that a desire? Are you calling out, crying out for the milk of the Word to continue to grow and to continue to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior and to just be closer and closer to Him and His Word? And don't ever separate the Word from, the living written Word from the incarnate Word. We can't separate those two in a sense that one is more important than the other. And I guess you could say, well, if Jesus wouldn't have come and died on the cross, sent his Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have the scriptures. Understand that. But we abide in the Word, and the Word, we want the Word in our hearts, and we want to grow in the Word. And that's how we know Jesus Christ so well, is by studying in his Word, and yes, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts and our lives. Making that connection and helping us to understand the Word. Turn back to Psalm 70, the 70th Psalm. And I'm going to kind of pull one verse out of that. I understand that. And you'll find this theme throughout the Psalms. But Psalm 70, verse 4, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Okay, a few questions I want to ask regarding that verse. I'm asking you, I'm asking myself. Do we seek him? We want to grow in Christ, do we seek him? Let all those that seek thee. Okay, the first thing is, do we seek him daily? And then it says, rejoice. and be glad in thee. Do you rejoice? Is that something you do? Or is that, I don't really have much to rejoice about. Well, we rejoice in him. It says, let us rejoice and be glad in thee, in Christ. Do we rejoice about that? Let such as love thy salvation. Do you love your salvation, that you are saved? If you don't love something, you're probably not going to grow in it. Do you really appreciate what Christ did for you? Do you realize where you would be without him? And then it says, let them say continually, let God be magnified. Do we magnify the Lord? There is something about praising and magnifying the Lord that helps us grow in him. If we're never willing to praise the Lord, to magnify him in some ways, magnify simply means exactly that, make something like, take a magnifying glass, you can see it better. You can see it. It doesn't change what's there, it's just that you can see it better. It doesn't actually make the object bigger. It's not as though, you know, if I'd show a big magnifying glass on this glass, that suddenly the glass would be this big around. But if you looked at it through a magnifying glass, there's probably things you'd see that you wouldn't. Do we do that for God, especially for others, so they can see more clearly what God looks like and who God is through our lives? Well, if we're not seeking him, if we're not rejoicing in him, if we're not thankful for our salvation, we probably won't magnify him, and we probably won't grow. We'll probably stay where we're at or start to shrink. There's that children's song that they sing at Bible school and maybe other places, you know, where you get in the word and they grow, and then they shrink. And that's kind of how our Christian life is if we aren't doing these things that God has made clear for us. So to abide in him, I believe we need to stay close, stay in his word, keep his commandments, keep your heart from evil, praise the Lord for salvation. And growth, I think, is a series of choices that we make. In instruction class this morning, we were going over Victorious Christian Living was one of the subject matters, and hadn't actually realized when I was preparing the message, hadn't thought about the connection too. But they list some things in that booklet, and I had added a couple to it that I think are important for Victorious Christian Living. Faith is our faith, really solidly in Christ. And then they listed knowledge of the scriptures, prayer, power of the Holy Spirit. And then there's confession and accountability to help us be victorious in our Christian life. And I think that goes along with growing in our Christian life, is to be victorious. And I shared this morning over there, you know, sometimes maybe we think about victory as, for instance, in a ball game, the one that is victorious is the one that at the end of the game is in the lead. Well, certainly at the end of the game of life, if you want to call it that, it's not really a game, but we want to be victorious at the end. We want to be winners in Christ. But I don't think we want to play a ball game being behind until the last 20 seconds of the game, and then suddenly we score and get ahead. Oh, we win victoriously. No, the victorious Christian life is one in which we feel that we're victorious throughout the life, not just at the end. We definitely want to be at the end, of course, but we want to grow in Christ so that we can have victorious Christian living throughout our life. So let's grow in him and in the knowledge of him and the knowledge of his word, and let's just do his commandments and grow, and let's desire it, the sincere milk of the word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Help me, Lord, to just desire it more and more and to grow more and more. Help all of us, Lord, to never feel like we have achieved, but that we continue to strive onward, just like the Apostle Paul did, that he felt like he needed to continue to reach on, and help us, Lord, to always just feel that urgency to grow and grow. Help us to just desire that sincere milk of the Word. And yes, I pray for each one here that that would be what we would desire and that we would grow in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.